Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody's having a wonderful start to their day. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Great. Eighth grade, not graduation, promotion. Was a
promotion
big success last night.
Okay, so that's good.
Want to do a shout out to Mill Creek Middle School. Three kids have gone through there. Fantastic people. Appreciate them all.
Very good. Very nicely done. Nick Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm good. My my fingers are a little sore from folding the programs last night. I did 150 of them. So
for the big event.
For the big event. Yeah.
You weren't like licking stamps or anything, were you?
No.
Do you know the show Seinfeld?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about?
Vaguely,
With George and Susan. All right.
Well, but the smart thing with that is we've done a lot of those thank yous, and Kristen got me like a little dish with water, so I just get my finger, and then you just
look at you,
wipe it, and you don't have to lick all of them, Joe.
Look at you.
Wow, how about that?
Thinking ahead. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, that tastes nasty
that works,
anyway.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Life hack.
Life hack. That is true. The conference finals in the National Hockey League underway last night. Florida and the New York Rangers. Florida with a 3-0 shutout last night, Joe. So Lavi on the ropes quickly in the series. Florida goes on the road, takes down New York in game one. That's going to be a doozy.
Yep. Yeah. And Florida was better. I mean, obviously they won 3-0. So, you know, that's... kind of, I guess that kind of tells a story, but not always. But
not always.
Yeah, they're good. They're very good. Did Lavi have something funny?
I severely doubt it after a loss. I don't know.
Well, it's funny sometimes because he'll say like four words.
Yeah.
But conference finals, it gets a little tougher. That's a big crowd in there.
It's a big crowd in there. But there wasn't a ton that was said after the game. I have to go back and look, though. Maybe he was. Maybe he was holding court in there.
Keyser said he has a clip. Why do you have a clip?
We can play better. You know, I don't think that was the best version of ourselves, and so we'll look to see what they did, see what we can do better in all areas of the game. I think there's more for us to give and more for us to do out there.
Yeah, it sounds about like that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Pretty boring, typical crap. It was worth a try.
It was. The Mavs take down Minnesota last night in game one of the Western Conference Final in the NBA. Mavs putting together a nice little run here with Luka and Kyrie leading the way.
Yeah, they really are. Man, that is a tough one. The basket interference one, that was so far away from the rim. I don't know, man. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. That would have tied the game 104. But it's really weird. Watch. It's basically like every other possession. Okay, Luka, you take over this possession. Dominate the ball, make some ridiculous shot. Okay, Kyrie, you take over this position. Luka, you rest over here on this side. Kyrie, you go do some crazy stuff and create a bucket. It's wild. I thought it would be a total disaster with those two. I think we talked about it last year when
I thought it
happened.
Would too.
Like, that's just not going to work. There's two ball dominators. But, hey, they also at times play off each other, and they do kind of – they do. It's like you rest, now you rest. You take over, now you take over. And Anthony Edwards – right now, struggling a little bit.
Yes.
You know, the shot's not falling for them, and if that doesn't change quickly, we're going to be looking at the Mavs in the finals.
And, Joe, your beloved Milwaukee Admirals take a 2-1 series lead last night.
How is this so late?
I don't know.
Burying the lead.
I thought about starting with it, but I figured we'd just build up to it, and that's what we've done. An overtime win for the Milwaukee Admirals last night. Igor Afanasyev, 3 goals in the game. Another win for Yaroslav Askarov.
Big, big win. Over Grand Rapids, man. Take that, Grand Rapids.
Have some of that.
Have some, Grand Rapids.
One win away from advancing now are the Milwaukee Admirals. 5-game series, so need one more win.
And this would be to the conference finals.
Yes.
Yes, which is where they got last year.
That is correct, yes. Yeah. So,
man, we can only hope.
We can only hope. That is
this
correct.
Town is about to be just about turned to be upside down, okay, by the Milwaukee Admirals.
That's right. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. We're taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans and the National Football League with him. We have a Rob rant today.
Good.
7:45. Figured I'd give you a break.
I love it.
We had the best and worst things in sports at 6:45. So we will take your best things and your worst things throughout the show on our phone and text lines, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I was kind of looking back yesterday, and some people, some buddies of mine were talking about our conversation with Guharski about Levis. Like, if he turns out to be really, really good, is he the type of guy that will give the Titans that national respect? And, you know, I brought up the Mahomes example. And, you know, Kansas City is it's a good market, and it's a team that's been around for a long time, but it's not Kansas City is not your hotbed market when it comes to, like, oh, the NFL, yeah, they love them some Kansas City. But Mahomes gets there. He turns out to be a great player. And, I mean, look, Kansas City, I didn't look at their schedule and see how many times they're on national television. I would imagine it's a lot. So if you get great players, specifically a great quarterback, then I think the narrative around your franchise and the lack of respect and all that stuff that Titans fans talk about all the time, I think that can quickly change. I'm interested to see if Will Levis is that guy, because he does have, like, if he's really, really good, his personality, I think, is going to lend itself to him being a pretty polarizing guy throughout the league. And we've talked about this before. Like, if I'm a Titans fan, I want that. Like, I want, even if you're the villain in some ways, like, if people don't like your quarterback, that's good stuff if you're the Titans. Like, I at that point, people are going to be talking about, well, everybody hates Will Levis. Everybody wants to crap on Will Levis when he has a bad game because of his personality. But if it gets to that point where the entire country is reacting to Will Levis, probably means he's played pretty well for the most part. And I think based on my Titans buddies I was talking to yesterday, we've now got them excited about the possibility of Will Levis being a total heel in the National Football League. And I'm here for it.
Yeah, no, he'd be right up there. He'd be, I like the Phillip Rivers comparison, but with F-bombs. You know,
yes.
I just would assume that. Maybe I'm wrong.
We'll have to ask him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Cousins is F-bomb free. By the way, the Chiefs they got 6 national TV games for sure.
Sounds about right.
Including the 2 p.m. on Thanksgiving and then 5 primetime. And then they'll probably get one flex at the end. So
probably so.
Yeah, like half their schedule. But, yeah, look, the whole – Guharski has said this and other people have said this. Like the Titans, you know, lack of attention. Some of you are like, well, they've played this boring style of play, you know. First of all, I mean, I thought they were fun to watch, like when Chris Johnson was insanely good.
Different, you know, type of fun, yeah, but yes.
I thought they were fun to watch when Vince Young, like, was a rookie. So, but I think that's the whole thing. It's boring type style of play kind of just speaks to the same thing. It's quarterback.
Yeah.
You don't have the excitement. If Vince Young's career would have taken off, then I don't even think that would be a thing anymore. You know,
like, I agree.
If Vince Young's career would have taken off, then, like, the Titans would have had a stretch of being a very talked about franchise, because it really is. It's about your players and your watchability. You know, because Derrick Henry was a star, but there's still, I just think more and more people who are football fans, especially younger football fans, like, they just care about the passing game. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Sadly. Even though the running game matters still and always will, but that's what they care about. But yeah, I think with Levis, if you have a great quarterback, then that is going to be the thing. That's the difference maker. It's been 20 years since McNair, basically, right? Like, McNair's last year, I mean, I know he was still around like 05, 06, but it was kind of going the wrong way. And then, you know, he goes to the Ravens. I mean, that's a long time. If you have a great quarterback here, and then also, yes, with the personality and the hateability to go with the watchability, that's a lot of ability.
Yep. McNair's last year was 05 with the Titans. So we're getting close to right at 20 years since he was here. And even then, like you said, I mean, his last year with Nashville, the Titans, I think with him at quarterback, he played 14 games that year. They were 4-10, and they weren't very good, and they were kind of in the middle of the transition there. So, which is
right.
How they ended up picking Vince Young the next year, right? Yeah, they were that bad.
Exactly. Four.
So, you know, it's been a while since, like, Tannehill at the top of his game here, the national perspective of it was always, oh, look at the Titans and Derrick Henry and, oh, Tannehill's played pretty well for them. How about that? But it's Ryan Tannehill. That's
right.
Like, nobody was ever breaking down Ryan Tannehill's performance on ESPN and being like, let's go through the tape and watch some Ryan Tannehill. Like, I'm sure, like, Orlovsky here and there did. But by and large, they weren't paying a whole lot of attention to what Ryan Tannehill was doing.
Yeah. Which is interesting, too, because if you go to the Goff comparison, it's like, you know, Goff goes the Lions, and all of a sudden we're, Goff, you know. But the difference is, yes, Goff actually did go to a Super Bowl. Goff did have bigger success than Tannehill had in Miami. So, yeah, the book on Tannehill had basically kind of been written as, yeah, he's okay with the Dolphins.
Yeah, pretty much. And that kind of stuck with him here in Nashville. So, I'm interested to see how this goes. I mean, there are way more important things on the Will Levis conversation than how much respect he gets nationally. But you can see it. Like, we get it every day on the text line. I mean, there are Titans fans that really care about that, that are really upset with a perceived lack of respect from the franchise as a whole. So one way to go about changing that is for the quarterback position to be something that forces you to pay attention if you're national. So we'll see if Will Levis can do that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. It feels like there's a new story in college athletics every day, almost because there is a new story in college athletics every day. And we got another one brewing right now. We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Even the playing of this music makes me sad, Joe Rex Road. All I can think about is Uncle Vern, Gary Danielson, SEC on CBS, and that's no more. So, I don't even like the music being played now.
Well, yeah, now this music's played for the Big Ten, right?
Yeah,
that'll be weird.
Nothing gets me fired up like this music in the background of some Iowa highlights.
Iowa Purdue?
Yep. Woo! There's another incompletion.
Fly is that? Open. Let's go pee.
That's right. Woohoo! That drop folder keeps expanding by the day.
I tell you what. And the thing is, like, that's one of those situations where if you're just listening to the show, you might have thought I just said that randomly. You know what I mean? Wait, what?
What's he talking about?
That doesn't make sense, huh?
That's awesome. All right, so let's break down kind of the latest of what's going on right now with the NCAA. So there's the House versus NCAA case. It's not a specific house. It is a person. Grant House.
Yeah.
But I believe it's a swimmer at Arizona State.
I think that's right.
And Sedona Prince, who was a TCU women's basketball player. And they have filed.
Still is, right?
Yeah, I think she still is.
Yeah.
Filed a suit against the NCAA. And basically, it's claiming that the pre-name, image, and likeness ban on student athlete compensation violated antitrust regulations. So, long story short, even back before, like trying to go back before the NIL stuff all happened in college athletics, they're seeking some money kind of in the aftermath of that for players and student athletes that did not have that opportunity. So the NCAA, technically, like if they lost this case, could owe up $20 billion in damages. $20 billion with a B, which obviously that would, I think I saw this phrase put out there yesterday, quote, bankrupt the governing body.
Yeah.
So that would be bad news for the NCAA.
Like they got money, but they don't have endless money.
Yeah, $20 billion is a lot of money. So because of that, there are some settlement efforts that are going on. And, you know, the settlement stuff has been approved, I think, by the Big 12 and the ACC. And now you're waiting on, I think, the Big 10 and the SEC to kind of follow suit. And
The Big 10 is in. The SEC, Pac-12 aren't. And the NCAA Board of Governors agreed to the term. So,
It's
heading that way. $2.7 billion.
Yep.
Sounds better than $20
billion. $2.7 billion definitely sounds better than $20 billion. What do you make of what this means? And basically, you know, this kind of being another step against the NCAA in terms of, I think we're headed pretty quickly to them just not having any power or say whatsoever when it comes to college athletics.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is headed toward once they – first of all, the $2.7 billion, and there's a lot of fighting about that because – like the smaller conferences, you know, they're taking money from everybody. Yep. That they're going to withhold revenue distribution. They're going to withhold NCAA tournament distribution. But also, basically, it's about 60% of this is going to be paid by the smaller leagues, which sounds insanely out of. I mean, when you just say it that way, but it's a lot of leagues.
Yep.
I mean, it's a lot of schools, a lot of leagues. So it's like everybody pass the hat around. You put yours.
Put your donation in here.
Put your, chip in. I mean, so it's not as, it doesn't seem fair to me completely, but I mean, it's not as insane as when you initially say that, like, wait a minute, shouldn't the Power Five pay like 95% of it?
Right.
But also this is going to, so moving forward, they're going to have about $20 million a year in revenue sharing that they're going to kind of plan for with the athletes. So again, I mean, we're headed toward, labor, we're headed toward labor management. You know, we're headed toward this is so
we're headed toward the college football commissioner at some point too.
Yeah, that I think that's probably fair. And this is where it really gets. I mean, the good thing about there are some good things about this, which is like for example, it is stupid right now. Like the portal, the freedom of movement stuff. Where it's just like, I mean, Tyler Barron, I think he just said he's going to Miami now, right? I think so. So it's been Tennessee, Ole Miss, Louisville, Miami. Is that, am I right? Is that, or did I miss something? Was there an Arkansas in there? I can't keep up.
No, I think you got it right.
And look, I'm not trying to pick on Tyler Barron. I'm just saying there's an example of like, yes, coaches can leave. 100%. Clearly, I'm for the kids getting money. They should have gotten money all along. If the NCAA wasn't stupid, they wouldn't be getting their ass kicked in court like this and like just in a complete state of disarray and chaos.
Yeah.
They should have gotten money a long time ago, more than just the under-the-table money that some were getting. But the freedom of just – you can just go from school to school to school with no sit-down, with no guidelines at all, that's stupid. And it's not the same as coaches because coaches still have contracts.
Right.
And so, if you know, first of all, yeah, sometimes you see a coach take a job and then the next year take another job. Sometimes. But, you know, usually they're there for a few years. And if they do leave, there's a buyout because there's a contract. And so once that's in place, you're not going to see this. And it can't be good for the fan experience. There's no way it's good for the fan experience. Just be like, okay, just tell me who's on my team this year. Oh, and my favorite player is on what? He's on a rival now? Okay. You know, Alabama's point guard is Auburn's point guard from last year. Okay, sure. You know, so in terms of like the big picture of the sport long term, you can't have people switching teams every 5 minutes. I mean, and so this I think will stabilize that. But my big concern with this, and this goes back to arguments I had with people when we were talking about NIL before it happened and everything. And I will say I didn't. At that time, people were like, well, all these non-revenue sports are going to get killed. And I'm like, no, they're not. I mean, you have to have – to have nonprofit status, you have to provide 16 sports. You have to provide these opportunities. With this now, it's not clear, but I think we may be headed toward these Olympic sports or whatever you want to call them, these non-revenue sports, just being club sports,
yep.
Which sucks. There's a lot of kids who get opportunities because of that. There's a lot of people who coach these sports who aren't getting rich. I mean, that's part of the money, this ridiculous money that everybody talks about, and it's true, but a lot of it does fund these sports that make no money, and they provide opportunities for kids to go to college for free, and they provide careers for people. And I think we may be headed toward those people just cut out. I hope I'm wrong,
yeah.
But I think it's just hard for me to look at the whole picture and not start to get there.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see the transfer part of this. I think is a really, first off, really good point by you because I think all of us would agree, like the transfer, particularly in basketball and in college football, is out of control right now, right? I mean, it's people are transferring left and right. I mean, there are guys that have been on like two different teams since all this started, from the team that they start, so like three teams total. Like it's left and right. Every year, every team is dealing with it to some degree of transfers, either coming in or going out, a combination of the two. And, like, I'm with you. Like, it's, I don't think that's good. I don't think that's a good thing for college basketball, college football, college baseball, whatever sports you want to choose. I don't think that that's a long-term model for fan interest. Like, if I'm a fan of Tennessee or Vanderbilt or whoever, it would be great to know that for the most part, the team, like the freshman class that you've got coming in, is going to be there when they're juniors and seniors, particularly in college football. And in some cases, that does happen. Like Tennessee is, you know, for the most part, actually had a pretty good retention.
I mean, people love Zakai Ziegler. He's back again.
Yeah, he's back again. Like, there are examples of that being the case. But the transfer portal in general is out of control. The one thing I wonder about, though, because I agree, like, something's got to be done about it. But, like, I wonder what happens if they try to put in some ground rules on this, and then some kid says, well, you're limited in how much money I can go make.
Well, there's a West Virginia case that earlier lost on that. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're limiting my earning ability by saying I can't go do this.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the kind of the big thing that they're going to have to fight against when you're trying to lay ground rules down for the transfer portal. I mean, somebody somewhere is going to say, well, you can't do that because you're limiting my earning power by going somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's going to be a hard hurdle to overcome.
Well, that's where, but if it gets to, I mean, that's just where it's just a completely different model where, again, it's like a pro league, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a pro league with rules about free agency.
Yeah.
I mean,
I had somebody ask me yesterday, like, could we get to the point with some of these NIL deals where it's like a contract, but it's like incentive laden. Like, you have to reach a benchmark of either playing time or maybe a statistical benchmark. I don't know what it is. And I don't know. Like, I don't know what the answer to that is. There's obviously a very complicated answer to getting that part of it nailed down. But
yeah,
I never thought about that. Like, could you have like incentive laden NIL contracts in the future here? I don't know.
Sure. Well, yeah, I think anything that you see in pro sports, I think it'll start to just echo that. And then some people will say, well, I think we're mostly past that. I mean, I don't hear a lot of people saying, well, I loved it when it was amateur sports, you know.
Well, it's not going back to that.
Yeah, it's not going back to that. And again, it really wasn't. I mean, again, like your coaches were making millions back then. Like, so, you know, and also some players were actually getting pretty sweet wink, wink NIL deals with their uncle's cars that they were driving. You know, I mean, but – so I think we're past that, but I think some people might say, okay, so if it just totally looks like a pro sports league, it's the NFL's minor leagues, does that turn people off? I think that's a good question on the other side.
I think that's a great question. 615-737-1025, our phone number. What do you make of the current state of college athletics? And if it does turn into basically minor leagues for the pro sports, specifically at the football and basketball level, how much of a turnoff would that be to you? 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20. First pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Taking your thoughts on the state of college athletics right now, an ever-changing state of college athletics. So, Joe, I know this. You know, I have whined and complained about the expansion of the college football playoff ever since it was announced that they were going to do it. I also know that when the 12-team playoff comes around this year, I'm going to watch. I have whined and complained about many of the changes to college football, college athletics in general, and yet I still watch. It is looking like it's trending more towards basically being pro athletes at a college level, like a minor league system, kind of a feeder system for pro sports. And a lot of people hate the idea of that, myself included, and yet I know that I'm still going to watch. So how do you think the general sports fan feels about the direction that we're headed, specifically with, you know, we can talk about all college sports, But college football and college basketball, the two main cash cows of college athletics. How do you think the general sports fans feels about the way that this continues to basically shift towards pro sports like it has for the last 5 years here?
Yeah, I think a lot of people complain but still watch. I think you're exactly, and I'm the same way. I mean, and the thing is, there are some things that I love. I love that these kids can get money. I do think that there are a lot of bad decisions being made. Just jump in the portal, and then sit there, and then you end up in a worse situation. I'm concerned about, you know, the education aspect of this, because it's a minor league feeder system, but guess what? Also, a very tiny percentage are actually going to go to the bigs, right? For most of these kids, this is the bigs. This is where you'll make your most money out of athletics. And you need to be getting a degree and preparing yourself and taking advantage of the situation. And again, if you're portal, switching schools, I mean, there's got to be some credit transferring issues in there somewhere, right?
I mean, there has to be.
So there's a lot of stuff with this that's bad. And we've talked about
credit transfer issues from me going to from a community college to MTSU.
Right.
So, yeah, there's going to be some issues.
Yes. I mean, and look, we're here. I know with Vanderbilt, I've heard so many different stories of, like, the difficulties of, you know, getting in. Also, like, you know, you have a transfer who's going to go there for 2 years because that's like a rule. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff that goes with this. Again, it's still college. When it comes down to it, yeah, I think it'll be – I'm excited about, like, the playoffs at home sites. Like the idea of whatever, like Alabama playing in Columbus in a cold weather game outside or whatever it may be. I think there's a lot of things that are good.
Can't play in cold weather. They don't do that in football.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, certainly, that's never happened.
We cannot cold. It's 30 degrees. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's never happened before in football history. Thank you, Bob Bowlesby. Oh. That was one of my favorite rants. It was so easy. Good Lord. Yeah. No, there's never been any famous pro football games outside in cold. Good God. Now, look, the thing is, I actually have kind of an optimistic view when it comes to especially football. Basketball, I'm worried about them screwing up the tournament. So that's its own separate thing. But college football, I think the thing is, they are going to figure this out, and then you're going to have, I think, a more public and open kind of like salary structure. And look, you still – the more coveted pursued players should still get more money.
Yeah, I agree.
So I do hope that's part of it. They don't try to say blanket, you know, everybody gets X amount. That's just like cost of attendance. No. If you are the 5-star quarterback from California that Alabama and USC and Ohio State all want, that person should get more money. I'm sorry.
I agree.
But they figure that out. I actually think it's the people. This is what people love. They love the name across the thing. It's what you grew up cheering for. It's the same stadium. It's the same college town. It's the same tradition. Same mascot. Same cheer. You know, running through the power tee. Now that's changing. So I actually think that once they figure this out and then they stabilize it, so where, again, I don't want to pick on Tyler Barron. He's just an example. So you don't have a kid who's at 5 different schools in one spring.
Yeah.
Then I actually think it's going to be in good shape. Basketball, I'm worried about.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, David. David, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. Just a real quick thought. I think the NIL has kind of gotten out of hand. It's gotten ridiculous. And I don't disagree that players shouldn't receive benefits, but I think then there should be a contract there because the money's coming from boosters, the school, kids, parents. And so if you're going to have a commitment to those benefits, there should be something in return. And I think basketball is the best example. I mean, you only have like 20 positions, and you just can't commit to these top-rated players year after year and not expect some commitment in return. That's just my comment. Thanks, guys.
Yep, thanks for the call, David. I mean, that is an interesting point, too. Like, we saw basically an example the other way the other day, right, where we were talking about, you know, Rashada, who got the $13 million promise down there in Florida.
And there's a lot of smaller examples of that. That's the biggest one, but there's a lot of examples of that.
Right, and they didn't come through that way where they just didn't come up with the money. So that's the other side of the extreme.
BS.
And then there's the players that do get paid, and they do come through with the money, and then all of a sudden they find themselves in the transfer portal again and going somewhere else. It's like, how do you kind of bridge that gap of those two extremes? And can you find a way, especially with some of these bigger deals, where it is basically functioning as a contract at that point?
Well, I mean, look, a lot of discussion about the unconfirmed Nico situation in Tennessee. And, you know, that was, of course, you know, that story was broken by Stuart Mandel, who I work with at The Athletic. And so I've had some conversations about that whole thing, and it's kind of like, I know that there, in those deals in particular, there have been discussions like, okay, so, you know, back then it's like, NIL, you're going to get paid for your, you know, whatever. You're going to do some appearances around Knoxville or around Columbus or whatever, right? I mean, and they do. I mean, yeah. I actually know, like Nico, for example, I know he does stuff where it's like part of this. So he goes to things.
He's put some on his Instagram, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But that's – so, okay, so in a contract, could you have it like, you know, you must be doing these things in Knoxville, Tennessee, in Columbus, Ohio, right, X amount of times a year? Because, I mean, if you transfer to Washington, that's going to be tough.
Hard to pull
off.
You
know what I mean? Yeah. But – so that's that. Yeah, so I think, again, we're going to get to the point where it's just much more just cut and dry. Here's the contract. Here's what you're getting paid.
Yeah.
And, and again, it's – I mean, the coaches' contracts are public for public universities, and I think this will be that too. And it'll be through the schools. I mean, basically, this week, we are finally – schools. The NCAA is finally announcing the schools are going to pay the players to play sports for them. So it's a step. I mean, it's all court-driven. And there's still this concern, like, okay, like you just said, what about this possible lawsuit, this angle of lawsuit? They're trying to obviously get rid of all the lawsuits and just have a new model.
They're trying to get that new model. I mean, I think we're going to look back on it, Joe, where the day the NCAA basically died was the Supreme Court 9-0 case, right? Like, that's it. That's pretty much it. And I know, you know, last year they tried the Tennessee stuff with the NCAA investigation and all that. So, like, they're still technically around. But this time, 10 years from now, we're going to look back on it. We even look back on it right now. And the day the NCAA died was the Supreme Court 9-0 case.
Exactly. Supreme Court 9-0 on anything.
Is unreal.
Right now, in this day and age, should tell you. Trey says, all I care about then is I get to play the NCAA football video game, and they never take it away from us ever again. I think you're good, man.
I will say.
People are excited about that.
I got myself a PlayStation 5 a few weeks ago. I'm pretty darn excited about that.
I've never played that game, but it does look cool.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I had one more point on this, and then that tripped me up. You know, one quick point to make on this, that because I was just reading a piece from our doctorman at the Big Ten meetings, and our guy, that's why Izzo hasn't been to the pre-show meetings. He's out there in California.
Struggling.
Those Big Ten meetings out in California. Because, yeah, that makes sense. But he has banged this drum, and he was talking about it again today, and I'm totally with this. You know, another thing, this has been a big part of his program, but any of these long-term programs where you got a coach in place, you know, Tim Corbin here in Vanderbilt, he has such a great thing going because these guys, they grew up together, they sort of helped each other. They eventually got their opportunity. A lot of them go on to the pros. They come back. They invest in the program. I mean, Vanderbilt has its own totally separate thing there because of all these like MLB guys in a lot of cases giving money or whatever. But they are a support network. Like it is whether you don't have to be in the sport. You go into the business world. You got an incredible support network. And like his point is like I have so many guys like that. So if we're going to have all these 1 year and then you go to three or four schools, where do you go back to? I know that's a secondary part of all this, but along with education, it's one of these things that's why we got to get through this. This is going to be also known as a little small era of like just wackiness where coaches are like, I'm burned out. I can't even do my job anymore. I mean, we are going to head to a more stable place, I believe.
So I think you and I both agree eventually we're getting to a college football commissioner at some point. Is that going to be Saban?
Oh,
is he playing the long game?
That's not a bad thought. I don't hate that idea.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, he's gonna. What's the pay? That's what he's gonna know.
I'm sure it'll be significant. I'm sure it will be significant.
Yeah, I can see that. The commissioner thing, you know, that's been talked about a long time. But again, this is where like college athletics is so. Like my answer to that has always been, but the president still decides things. So like the commissioner is telling them what to do now. But there still should be a commissioner to help these conferences not, you know, stab each other in the back and just do ridiculous crap. So, Saban, I like it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, would you like to kick us off as you do every week with your best and worst things in the world of sports? Got a lot of people on the text line. Hoping that we weigh in with a certain thing.
My goodness, I guess. Is there like some message board thread about like Robbie and Rox Road don't talk about Vanderbilt if they beat Tennessee or something like that? I mean, look, maybe. Robbie did come into the pre-show meeting and say, guys, we're not talking about this Tennessee loss to Vanderbilt in baseball.
It's the first thing I said at 2:28 a.m. this morning when we began our meeting.
Right, and our dude is like, sorry, Robbie, you got to take your medicine, buddy. No, that is we're going to have the same best in sports, and I feel bad, but however I got to going first on this, I'm just going to take advantage. So my
I
best
may reverse
sports,
it on you one day. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be tough. It would be fair, though. Tough but fair. Robbie Stanley. My best in sports is Vanderbilt baseball. Because as of Saturday night with a 17-7 loss to Kentucky, I'm like, well, they're not going to the NCAA tournament. And now today I can tell you, how many days later? 5 days later? I can tell you with certainty, 5 days later, they are going to the NCAA tournament. They're going to extend the longest streak in the nation, which will be 18 games. That's better than I smoke weed constantly right there. Although that would have been funny too.
Smoke weed constantly.
That is
we can't hear that enough.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Every time.
A 9-minute run.
Yes, yes, more of that. Now, Vanderbilt baseball has rebounded tremendously. J.D. Thompson comes through, clutch hitting. They beat Kentucky. And then even at that point, I'm like, that might be enough, but then you don't mess around, lose to Florida. They beat Florida. You know, look, they come with their best. They come with Bryce Cunningham. They come with Devin Fittrell to beat Tennessee yesterday. And so that's big, obviously. That's a streak. It's two straight against the Vols, Robbie. Have some of that.
It is.
But I've loved – so this goes to my worst, but I will say still part of my best is I've loved seeing some, like, you know, Tennessee-Vandy interactions back and forth on this. Vanderbilt
more
fans.
More last night.
This is the big – yeah, we own you again. And Tennessee fans, like, I couldn't care less about this game. Yeah. But that goes to my worst in sports. My worst in sports – I'm sorry, Vol Twitter. But it's Tennessee fans who don't know anything about baseball. And look –
here we go.
Look at Keezer's in there. Like, oh boy, I'm just going with Wes Rucker. Okay, his Twitter. Wes Rucker loves to quote tweet dumb Vol Twitter tweets.
He
and
does
respond to them. So let's see. Here's one from EM Go Vols. This is now 3 games in a row. A Tennessee team has had a number one seed and bleep the bed. Basketball, softball, and as of now, baseball. Our pitching sucks. Tony Vitello should look like he gives a bleep. He's wasted thousands of Tennessee fans' money. I would say Vitello has lost some respect from the true UT baseball fans tonight.
Oh, God.
And, of course, you know, Wes is quote tweeting these and you know, and responding. Look, obviously, I will say, like, if you travel to something and your team is in a situation where it's like, yeah, this tournament doesn't mean that much, that stinks. I feel for you. But look, Tennessee.
It's in Hoover.
Didn't go to
California.
Someday, though. We've been talking about college sports. Someday. Yeah. The SEC baseball tournament in Anchorage, Alaska. But No, it's just, you know, people – Vols fans, I think obviously the sport that matters most is football.
Yes.
And I just think with other sports, there are some Vols fans who can't get out of, like, the one loss is devastating, you know what I mean, to that particular sport.
Yeah.
So that's my worst in sports. But Tennessee is going to be fine. A.J. Russell was able to throw. Actually, it was a good day, I'd say, for Tennessee to just get him going.
Yep.
They're going to rest the arms. Yeah, they. I guess they might not get the number one overall seed, which means if you do get it, you will not win the national championship. I mean, I basically
that's what
at this
the numbers
point,
would tell
yeah.
You.
So, all is fine. Vols baseball fans, calm down. Vanderbilt, good job. You're in, and Vanderbilt's gonna be a three seed probably somewhere on the road next
Whoever
weekend.
Whoever that one Dude, seed is not gonna be happy to
no,
see them.
Not at all. Especially if Cunningham and Futrell are gonna perform like this.
Yeah. They're not going to be happy to see them. Nick Keyser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah, I'll make this real quick. Plenty of optimism for the Preds offseason after moving Ryan McDonough. While Barry Trotz could very possibly be moving other prospects, could be moving other players, I think there's a lot of optimism for what is to come. So that is just one move of many coming up. And then I would say the worst in sports because the film is supposed to come out sometime today. Scottie Scheffler and all of that last week was absolutely craziness.
Looking forward to seeing what that is.
And waking up at the hotel with my family last week, having breakfast, seeing that a man got killed, but also that Scottie got arrested. Man, I could not believe any of that was happening. So more details are coming out this afternoon, supposedly. So we'll see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, apparently a press conference with the Louisville mayor and I guess the chief of police coming up later today. And apparently more video is coming out. We know it's not body cam video, so I don't know what video is coming out, but we'll see what
Supposedly
happens.
Supposedly it's at 10:30 this morning.
Yeah, we'll see what happens on the Scheffler front.
What a story.
It's going to be wild. We'll see how that goes. My best thing in sports, the conference final in the NHL is going to be awesome. Florida and New York last night, I think Florida did a really good job of kind of proving what they can do. And Florida, I said it earlier this week, I give Florida the slight edge over New York, but I think it's really slight. I think this is a really, really good conference final with Florida, New York. Dallas and Edmonton, I'm excited about because I think you have, in my opinion, the best overall team, and they're taking on the two best overall players. So I'm really excited to see how that series shakes out. But I said this earlier this week, I don't know, like, how excited the TV executives are for Dallas, Edmonton, Florida, and New York. I bet there's some matchups in there. Like if they'd probably be rooting for Dallas, New York as a final, would be my guess. But from a pure hockey standpoint, I can't remember a whole lot of conference finals that I think are going to be better than these two. It's going to be great.
Yeah, no doubt. And yeah, I think for sure the Rangers moved the needle. A little bit different than the Panthers do.
Yeah, I would say so. My worst thing in sports, I'll make this quick. Aaron Rodgers was up there yesterday, and it's just this is a very selfish worst thing in sports, but he got to talking about all his stuff and about how, you know, this offseason for him, it was basically, I'm going to go be Bobby Kennedy's vice president and retire or continue playing football and just all the stuff he was talking about up there. And then I saw Jordan Love's press conference the same day, and he is in the middle of contract negotiations right now for a new contract that's probably going to pay him over $50 million per year. And they were just asking about all this other stuff, like, why are you here? Like, we've seen quarterbacks here in the past that have been going through contractual negotiations that don't show up. And he's just like, yeah, I just want to be here for my guys. Contract stuff will get worded out. And I'm like, thank God. Thank God Jordan Love is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
Well, this sounds like a best thing.
Well, directed at Rodgers is the worst. But
Rodgers the worst, but
Love is
Jordan
the best.
Love saves the day. Love saves the day. All you need is love.
All you need is love. That's what we've learned here on the program today.
Hashtag.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Couple of votes on the text line. The Milwaukee Admirals, the best things in sports.
How Nashville's the heck team. Did we miss that?
Nashville's team.
Wait, the next hour on the Admirals. Let's go.
We will get into the Nashville Predators coming up next. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.